How open is the banking industry? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. But first, thought your morning commute was rough? The Paris metro system is at a near standstill today as staff strike over planned pension reform. The BBC's Hugh Schofield has more from the French capital.
It's a big strike. It's the biggest, they're saying, since 2007 on the metro. Several of the lines are not functioning at all. So it's a day definitely in which people who live in and around Paris feel affected. In my local school, for example, where my children go, there's no canteen service today because the canteen staff can't come in.
Now, the government hasn't even announced details of these pension reform proposals yet. What are workers there worried about losing?
The metro system has a particular pension regime, as they call it here, in which some workers, drivers of trains, are allowed to retire, for example, very early at the age of 52. And these are the sort of anomalies which Macron was promised to iron out. He's not saying he wants to do away with special circumstances, but he says there has to be a single unified system for everyone. That's just basic social justice. And what the metro workers are afraid of is that it will mean that their advantages are removed, and they're laying down a marker that they will intend to fight this.
The BBC's Hugh Schofield in Paris. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Let's do the numbers. Stocks are higher around the world on optimism over easing trade tensions. China's official news agency today reports the country will add new farm products, including soybeans and pork, to its U.S. tariff exemptions list. In Britain, the pound is rallying to its highest level against the dollar since July as fears recede of a no-deal Brexit. New European rules go into effect this weekend around mandating banks and payment service providers to be ready to give third-party companies access to consumer data. The concept of open banking is designed to increase competition and make the industry easier to navigate for consumers. But it's been a tough transition, as Brian Scott Quinn, the director of banking programs at Henley Business School, describes.
You have to interconnect the data stores and banks with the data stores of potential competitors to banks, and actually linking up is technically difficult. Also, of course, you're opening up consumers' private information to the outside world. And the banks, of course, are reluctant to do it because it increases competition potentially.
So is this something that consumers themselves want?
Well, it's one of these difficult questions. Did people want the internet? They didn't know what it was. So how could they say we want the internet? If you open up banking to competition, you get much better service, same in any industry. And so we do believe with this system, people will be willing to open up their banking data to others in order to get better prices, lower interest rates, better service.
What are the challenges to implementing in the US?
Well, the US banking system is probably a bit more old-fashioned than in Europe. For example, chip and PIN is not yet well established in the States. And I would think almost certainly that it will catch up because fintechs clearly are extremely strong in the States. The big payment providers come from there, like PayPal. And it's more the willingness, I think, of the legislature to pass the necessary new regulations which would permit it.
So open banking is the future of banking?
Oh, I think so, yes. The banks have gone from being very closed fortresses, a bit like Fort Knox, to being very open. The first opening up of the bank was, in fact, the ATM. That was the first time when you could actually do something, interact with a bank from outside the actual premises. And obviously, having an app on your phone with which you can interact with your bank is a very clear demonstration of that opening up. And open banking is the next phase.
Brian Scott Quinn there. In many countries, prisons are bulging at the seams. And the challenge is how to best reduce the prison population. One obvious solution is to prevent reoffending by equipping inmates with tools they need to get work on the outside. The BBC's Elizabeth Hudson reports.
Over the last few years, Aylesbury's been in the news for all the wrong reasons, from understaffing to rioting. But the prison's hoping that a project to teach inmates how to roast and make coffee will both help with behaviour and cut reoffending when inmates are finally released. Max Dubiel is co-founder of Redemption Roasters, which has several coffee shops in London and runs the Roastery and Coffee Academy at Aylesbury and in other prisons.
We recruit someone on the inside, then they work with us in the roastery. We teach them the barista skills, and then we teach them about roasting. So on release, we'd like to employ our graduates right away into one of our shops. About 6 months after release, we would encourage them to apply with other contacts in the coffee industry.
Paul is one of the inmates who trains in the coffee shop. He agreed to tell me about the work that he does, but I couldn't ask about his offences.
It's one of the best jobs to have. It's only really kitchens and gym which is better jobs than this.
It's hard to measure the coffee workshop's impact on reoffending rates because a lot of the inmates are serving long sentences and will be transferred to adult prisons. But when I chatted to Governor Laura Sackville in her office, she emphasised the overall impact of the scheme.
Primarily, the aim is to give people work experience and qualifications that will lead to a job on release. The hospitality industry is massive, and we know that people who are qualified as baristas can get work on every high street, and actually more and more businesses are looking to employ ex-prisoners. The coffee shop has had a fantastic impact. It's new, it's exciting, it provides a really positive workplace for our men, where not only are they learning the skills, they're also serving customers and developing those real-life work skills that will lead to jobs in the future. Not only getting a job, but also keeping a job.
And if schemes like that of Redemption Roastery do help offenders get and keep a job, it's an idea that might catch on elsewhere. In Aylesbury, I'm the BBC's Elizabeth Hodson for Marketplace.
Finally, wouldn't it be nice if we could all set our own salaries? Well, one UK firm is doing just that, and while some workers have asked for more money, some have opted for pay cuts. Businesses say the practice has led to a huge increase in staff retention. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.